It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 629. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This is the last show before the 2017 Unconvention, which is in Washington, D.C., September 16th and 17th. You can still, last minute, get some tickets. The website to get all the information that you need, buy your tickets. You can still get rooms, unconvention.io. Use the promo code MTS. You can still get $40 off. I hope to see you there. There's just too much happening next week because I'm going to be packing Thursday night, and then I got to drive there. It takes me like about 3 hours to get down there, so I'm leaving Friday morning. I should be at the Marriott by noon or thereabouts on Friday. Can't wait. We're already making plans for different meetups. Going to have a great time. It's not just meeting Malwarebytes, meeting Corey from Instant House Call, meeting Matt, owner of Tech Site Builder, and also the marketing podcast, Marvin B., who's the host of Pod Nuts Pro, which, by the way, last night, I was on the last episode, and we're talking about the Unconvention. You get to interact and meet with like-minded individuals that you're going to get something out of this to help your business. It is informal. It's relaxed. The tips and the nuggets that you're going to pick up is invaluable. You can write the whole thing off. It's brought to you by Instant House Call and Tech Site Builder. It is sponsored by, and this podcast is sponsored by, Malwarebytes, the Tech Bench tool set, which is an all-in-one package of utilities to help you diagnose, repair, and secure Windows PCs. This is a must-have tool set for your USB stick. My team, we're using it all the time. It's a great, great set of utilities. Link is in the show notes at miketechshow.com. I hope to see you there. It's a wonderful time, and you're going to get something out of it. Plus, you get to hear me. I'm giving a portion of the pod note, keynote at the beginning. I'm also helping out with the labs, and I'm helping out with AMA, hosting the panel where we're going to basically, you can ask us anything. And this is your chance on Sunday to just open up, let it rip, and ask any questions of something that has been on your mind that whole weekend. We can dig down and talk about anything. There's lots of opportunities for networking where we can discuss lots of things in details. If you've got questions at any time, it's not like you're going to just sit there and look at a screen of slides and wait till the end to raise your hand and ask for questions. You're going to interact immediately. You have a question, interact. And that's what this is all about. That's why it's called an unconvention. So tonight, I have a bunch of things. I'm going to talk about an insurance website that Marvin B. provided me based on a listener question. What insurance? Really like this. We're going to talk about the Thunderbolt interface. I have some strong opinions on this personally that I ran into with my PC and my Mac and the vintage because they're Thunderbolt 1s and what I ran into. going to talk about a product that I'm using now to transfer data that's incredibly fast. Then a stack of email questions and follow-ups that you're going to love. Let's begin with the website techinsurance.com. No matter what state you're in, no matter what city you're in, because I sit in the state of Pennsylvania, the insurance carriers for me will be different from you as you sit in Florida or Arizona or California. This tech insurance website allows you to pick either IT, consultant, architects, contractors, healthcare, and more. You fill out and answer the questions, sit back and wait for the quotes to come in. So you get to see the different carriers. You get to be able to then contact them directly and dig down deeper into more details for your policy. I can't just recommend an insurance company, which is what was asked of me, because every state varies. The company that I use, Erie, is not available in every state. I can't recommend someone else because I'm not familiar. So I was having a great conversation with Marv last night, and he suggested the Tech Insurance. So thank you very, very much, Marvin, for that. And that'll be the first link in the show notes. Thunderbolt. I have these two Thunderbolt ports on my PC. I have two Thunderbolt ports on my iMac. My iMac is a 27-inch, and its vintage is late 2012. There are three types of Thunderbolt connectors that you need to understand. Thunderbolt can be data transfer, but I know why for just compatibility in space, but it's also Thunderbolt 1 and 2 is the exact shape and size of the mini DisplayPort interface. So that's what makes it confusing, because now they call Thunderbolt 3 is now a Type C USB port. I wanted a dock to be able to put SATA drives and connect and transfer to my iMac. And I was misled on a couple products that said they were Thunderbolt 1 and 2, but they were Thunderbolt 3 only, and that interface could not connect. I had to send them back, and I had to dig deep. And I found a product on Amazon, and these are not cheap. So this is a High Point dual bay Thunderbolt, and it's 10 gigabytes per second storage dock. It's $148, but if you want to have two drives, I couldn't find one, so this was the only one I was able to find. It was the two drives. It had the Thunderbolt 1 and 2 interface, so it had that mini DisplayPort connector. Now, the mini DisplayPort came out first, I think really the Mac, where you can easily connect video, additional monitors. And you could get a connector that was mini DisplayPort to either VGA, HDMI, or DVI. And I have those connector cables, and I also have them for my MacBook Pro, which is a vintage 2010, and I had those adapters. Well, those adapters, if they have a lightning bolt at the top of the adapter, then you can do storage, and you can actually daisy chain based on what you're transferring. You can actually daisy chain multiple Thunderbolt devices off this. To get 10 gig transfer, I'm like, I need that. I also have the same interface on my PC that's a few years old. If I get a dock and get the cable, and by the way, the cable was sold separate, so you need Thunderbolt 1 to Thunderbolt 1. So it's going to look like two mini display ports, one at each end. This worked perfectly. When I bought that dual dock and plugged it into the back of my iMac, I am getting transfer speeds that are just amazing. Thunderbolt 1, of course, is old, but hey, I'm not replacing these systems for any time soon. So now if I got to transfer a lot of data from a client's drive or move stuff, this is what I want to do. I want to do it via Thunderbolt displays. So you have Thunderbolt 1, which is the same as the mini display port and does 10 gig. You have Thunderbolt 2, which doubles the speed. Thunderbolt 2 can do 20 gigabits per second in total. And then you got Thunderbolt 3, which can do 40 gig. So you got 10 gig, 20 gig, 40 gig. Thunderbolt 1, Thunderbolt 2, Thunderbolt 3. But remember, Thunderbolt 1 and 2 have the same mini DisplayPort interface, but they totally changed that in Thunderbolt 3. So you have to be careful. In the Mac world, you don't know which Thunderbolt you have. You kind of have to go online and look at the year of your Mac. And is it an iMac? Is it a MacBook Pro? And then once you find that out, and you do that by clicking the Apple and then about this Mac, and it'll tell you what year your Mac is. That's how Apple goes by the year that it came out. Then you can look and see, do you have Thunderbolt 1, 2, or 3? And then make sure it's very clear on the cable and the connection. Thunderbolt 2 is backwardly compatible to Thunderbolt 1. My dock can do 2 or 1, and it works both on my PC and my Mac, my iMac. I wanted to talk about this because it was like a little nightmare when I was first trying to get this dock. I can't believe how few your choices are for Thunderbolt 1 and 2. Not a lot of products out there for interfacing. So it's easier if you got a brand spanking new system and your Thunderbolt 3, no problem. You can get cables, there's adapters, there's all sorts of stuff. So Thunderbolt 1 and 2 is a little harder. You got to dig a little deeper. Hopefully, if you're in the same boat that I'm in, you'll have a great link here for the cable, for the dock. I hope that helps. Let's start catching up on this stack of email. This is from Kate, and it's feedback from the last show, show 628. First, thanks for the link to the troubleshooter on how to prevent a driver from installing in Windows 10. Creators Update broke that tool, and my particular problem isn't with a driver, just with an update to Office. But that is a useful tool for pre-Creators Update versions of Windows and drivers, so thanks. I know I'll find some use for it. Speaking of Creators Update, you had an email from someone who wondered if there were computers which would not go from earlier versions of Windows 10 to the Creators Update. The answer is yes, there are. Creators Update will not install on machines with newly unsupported processors. And she has a link to a PC World article, which I will have in the show notes. That said, I agree with you that the best thing to do is find and kill the usual suspects, malware. The second most likely solution is to uninstall any third-party antivirus, anti-malware firewall products. Do the upgrade by running the upgrade assistant, creating the media, installing the upgrade, and then reinstalling your protection. And speaking of firewalls, another email was from someone who couldn't get Windows Firewall to work. I bet you $1 Canadian that there was a third-party firewall installed at some point and it was not fully removed. I would further bet that it's probably part of either a McAfee or Kaspersky product. I would have a look in services and see what all was running in there, then grab the appropriate removal tool for that product and kill it off. Run CCleaner, reboot, and see what happens. That's great advice. Windows Photo Viewer, that came up, is available in both upgrades to Windows 10 from 7 and 8 and 8.1, and in clean installs. Instructions for both are here. And this is at infowindows.com, another link. Lastly, she goes on, because I talked about Zipod. Finally, Zipod. Wow, that's a blast from the past. I quit using it when I went from a nice little Sansa MP3 player to an Apple iPod Nano 7th generation and had to use iTunes to get my podcast. They stopped supporting and updating Zipod something like 10 years ago. But here's what I found in my Evernotes from back in 2003 when I had a similar problem. For safety's sake, export the OPML file before you do this. I no longer remember how to do that. Then remove the non-working podcasts. Close Zipod, open it again, and resubscribe. My note says that fixed it for me a couple of times. Eventually, for some reason, I no longer remember. I had to edit the OPM file to remove a bad subscription. Basically, uninstall Zipod completely and install it again, then import the edited OPML file. I wish I'd put screenshots in my notes, but I think I deserve some kind of digital pack rack merit badge for keeping that note around. I hope that's at all helpful. That's great. And absolutely. And that's why Evernote is just a godsend for things like this and looking stuff up that you answered or you solved years and years ago. Her last comment, in answer to your mini survey, I use iTunes to catch podcasts. Hate it, hate it, hate it. And my Nano to listen in the car and in the kitchen. I am currently looking for something to grab podcasts on my Pixel. Kate, you're going to love some of the emails coming here. There's a native way to do it, and a colleague is trying out some apps. If he ever gets around to posting a review, I will send you the link. Looking forward to that Amazon.ca link, Mike. Thanks, Kate. Kate, I know I'm so bad at falling behind in things, and I have to get that link together. And you are going to like these next recommendations. So this is from Jason Miller, who I think I will be meeting up with at the Young Convention, too. I use Beyond Pod on my Google Pixel XL with Android N. I have used it for years with no issues. I currently have about 35 feeds that update every day, and that's Beyond Pod. This is from Creekside, who also recommends Beyond Pod. And this is from Greg. Since you asked, I have been using AntennaPod to listen to your podcast for the last few months. Android LG G5 phone. So that is awesome. So we got BeyondPod and AntennaPod. This is from Jay Grant, longtime listener of the show. Wanted to chime in and say that on show 627, you were wondering how to disable or hide updates in Windows 10, like we could in Windows 7. There actually is a way to hide those updates. In particular, we have been hiding the creator's update for certain HP workstations that have been blue screening after the creator's update finished. Here's a link on how to use Microsoft's WUShowHide utility, which I think I actually mentioned last week. Eventually, you download the update from Microsoft and then tell it which updates you want to hide, including the creator's update. Below is the snippet from the package, from the above package, detailing how to hide the updates. I'm not going to go in that. This is Jared. I'll have the links in the show notes. There's another email on how to hide updates that I think is very important that we arm ourselves with the ability to stop certain updates that are crashing our systems. And again, I'm going to get on my soapbox. Why would Microsoft take such basic functionality where we need the ability to hide certain updates that they're screwing up our systems with? We got to be able to prevent that. And I'm in an endless cycle here with an update on my system that I cannot go further. And I'm afraid even if I do a clean install, I'm going to be at the same point. Keep talking about Windows updates. One more email from Luke. Hi, Mike. I love the show, and I've listened to all of your episodes. As far as automatic updates go, I'm pretty sure now that you cannot select individual updates. However, you can change the registry keys so it doesn't automatically install all your updates and restart. Here's a link to a blog post I wrote recently on how to do this. And this is techgeek.biz. It's tech tips, PowerShell set Windows update automatic restart straight. Thanks again, Mike, on your big commitment to the community. P.S. Great music. Thanks. And this is Luke from techgeek.biz. This actually worked for me. And this is a process that I'm going to have a text file for you to follow. This is how to get .NET 3.5 on Windows 10 post creators update. This is from Mark, and he has very simple instructions. You have to find on your media that you installed Windows 10 with on the system. And I've done this. There's only two real medias that I use. One, my Windows 10 Pro media that's pre-creators update. I took the file Microsoft-Windows-NetFX3-OnDemand-Package.cab. This is going to be in the show notes in a text file. You copy that to a directory. For example, you create an update directory on the root of C. You copy that cab file into there. You then open up a administrator's command prompt. And then you got to type the following line, which is dism, which is a tool for working with Windows images. It stands for Deployment Image Servicing and Management. And that's DISM. And then we have /online /enable /feature /feature name: and the feature name for .NET 3.5, which is called NetFX3, and then a space, and then a slash all, then a /source: and the source, which is C:\update, and then another parameter /limit access. Takes a minute and it works. So if you cannot get .NET 3.5 on a post Windows 10 creators update, this is the fix. And I will have a text note download. So just be a little text file with these instructions. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to put that all together for me. I really appreciate it. This is by Wynack, and it's a link to a 50 gig free storage. Now, keep in mind, anybody that's given big storage for free away and you're not paying for it, remember, they're probably not backing it up for you. They can take it away at any time with no questions asked. So be very, very careful. The site is mega.nz. And I'm going to give another caveat. If you Google the founder of this site, he has a checkered past. Just my warning, take a look. I wouldn't put serious storage up there. Remember, it's mega.nz, and carefully check it out. This is from Steve. I need a quick learn for the Microsoft 365 integration. Do you have any sites that I can learn this quickly? I have two clients now that I need it, and I have avoided it like the plague. And I don't know if they're going to be available for free, but I think you get a free 30-day trial. When I need to learn something, I go to lynda.com, lynda.com. Lynda.com has great training for beginners, advanced, on any topic under the sun. It is absolutely worth checking it out. When I had to teach myself certain software programs where I needed more features on how to use Adobe Pro, I had a client, a very important client, whose wife is a photographer and needed help on Adobe Lightroom. So guess what? I became not an expert, but I needed to learn enough of Adobe Lightroom so I can bill in helping this person get going and get tagging and cataloging her millions of photos that are taken. I highly recommend lynda.com for training. So hope that helps, Steve. Mail from the computer doctor. Hi, Mike. I was going to call and leave a voicemail message, but something's wrong with your Skype voicemail. I got to test that out, investigate, see what's going on. So I have to look into that. Now, the Synology, he talks about there's a reseller seminar in DC the week after the unconvention. With the Synology, I sent my son to the one in Philadelphia last year. The Synologies that I sell are not even on the radar at these seminars. They're talking big enterprise NASs. But just for going, he received a free 6 terabyte NAS drive. So if you have the time, it's in your area and it's available, it's worth hearing about because you may run into a client that needs enterprise level storage. But this was way beyond. My son started talking about some of the products we go. He's like, I don't even cover that here or talk about that here. You could never buy that direct from us. He recommended going to Amazon and buying it. So, you know, it depends on your level of buying, but these seminars are still worth attending, especially if they're going to have a carrot of something nice and big that, you know, you want. So I know we integrate. I think that 6 terabyte drive is in an enclosure backing up my current Synology right now. Check that out. I'll have events website in the show notes. QuickBooks. When it comes to QuickBooks, he recommended moving the QuickBooks problem, which I believe I solved it because they haven't called me back, and I'm going to tell you what I did. He's recommending, he had the same type of problem where we had to constantly keep rebooting the host machine of the database manager and the file and the database that's held for QuickBooks. They basically uninstalled, put it on another machine, a totally different computer. Well, that wasn't an option I wanted to go through. I really needed to solve this. So I opened up the firewall ports for the files that are used to access the QuickBooks, which I think might have been preventing. Like, I don't know why it would allow it once and then not, you know, it was up and down. But something else I did. Malwarebytes premiums went there. I excluded the QuickBooks database. Keep that in mind. If you have a peer system that you are running any antivirus or firewall, especially the antivirus anti-malware, and it's a database running where people are connecting to it on the local network to that system, and you have scans going on, you got to exclude because it may lock that file when someone's trying to come by and grab it, and it could be scanning it, and that could be causing this problem. So by me selectively opening up the firewall, and by excluding it in Malwarebytes, I don't know which one actually solved it, but the problem solved. And they stopped calling me before I continue with his email. It made me think of another problem that for troubleshooting that should be on your list. This makes no sense, but I'm going to tell you what solved a problem for a client that was bugging the client. They have a scanner, multifunction machine that's scanning to a Windows 7 peer server. And it would work for a few days, and then all of a sudden, couldn't find the server. The server, the ports were open, everything was fine. You could get to it, it could get to the internet, everything was fine. Ken, my senior tech, I sent him on site because he had not been on site here, and I've been dealing with trying everything to try to fix this. I dispatched him to look at this because you need another pair of fresh eyes to look at a problem. You know what he found? The date and time was off on the scanner multifunction machine versus the peer server. They're both synced now. They're both the exact time, both properly going out to the internet to a time server and updating. Guess what? No more problems. Sometimes you got to take a look at little things. SSDs and failure. We talked about SSD failed that I had. I had a Mushkin solid state drive. The computer doctor, Kevin, says, I've had several out of about 10 die. This was a couple years ago, and I won't go back to them ever. I also had a similar situation happen with SanDisk solid-state drives a couple years ago. I had 2 out of 2 fail in under a year's time. I won't go back to them. I've actually had incredible luck with dozens and dozens of Kingdom solid-state drives. I never heard of that. Out of probably close to 100 over the last year and a half, I've only had one fail. The warranty return process wasn't the easiest, as it had to be shipped to China. But other than that, they all have been great. Plus, on an independent speed test, they rated near the top out of the more value-based solid-state drives, beating out PNY and Kingston at similar price points. That was really good to hear. And no, he mentioned Kingston again. So it wasn't Kingston. He has it here. Let me look at the spelling. King space, and a separate word, D-I-A-N. I'll have to look at that, see if the price is good, because one thing I will say, the 500 gig EVO 850 Samsung, I've got some really aggressive prices on Amazon for that, far better than some of the prices for the 240 gig drives. It's worth getting the 500 gig when the prices start to get closer and closer like that. It's worth paying just a little more for the 500 gig. This is from Larry, also about a dead SSD. Just listened to your dead SSD show. And FYI, on my refurbs, the last thing I usually do is run BellArc Advisor. This way, I have the information of the hard drive, memory, software keys, etc. to cross-reference the refurb with the customer who purchased it. I'm going to stop there and comment. That's something I own the technician's license of SIW, and I absolutely love it. What I need to make policy is run an SIW, get the HTML file, put the customer info in Evernote, and attach that SIW so I have all that information. But BellArc's free, and I like this advice. He continues, I did about 50 refurbs, and I've had two dead SSDs. One SSD was an expensive Samsung EVO drive, and another was Crucial. It was so painful getting an RMA for the Crucial drive, I'm currently boycotting them. It's hard to purchase memory without considering Crucial, but their memory has to be extremely cheaper to a comparable memory before I'll even purchase the Crucial memory. And this is Larry from Ohio. Larry, thanks for that comment, because it's good to hear that. You know, if you got to decide between Crucial and another brand, and Crucial we know has a horrible RMA process, okay. Now, the reverse is true for Mushkin. The Mushkin, it seems like they have a very high failure rate, but they have an incredibly easy RMA process, which I described. I went online, I got my RMA, they sent me an email, I shipped it, couple days, boom, I got a brand new SSD. But if they have a high failure rate, so what we need is low failure rate, good RMA process at a good price. That's very fast. Right now, it seems like Samsung, the closest I think I'm going to get to all them. But I have to try out this kingdian.com. And the website, which I want to thank Tony in the chat, www.king-dian.com. Final email before we get to some independent music tonight. This is from Robert. I am working on a project, and this is a story from the trenches. I'm working on a project as a subcontractor for HP. Bank of America leases all their computer equipment from HP. So I and another local area technician go into the Bank of America financial centers in my area after hours and remove their old workstation servers and printers. We ran into an interesting situation with one of the new workstations, where after it was installed and booted, when the screen came up to hit Control-Alt-Delete to log in, the keyboard and mouse would not function. We tried a different keyboard, still would not work. After calling HP Control Room, it turns out that when the workstation tried to connect to the server for authentication and to download the package to the NIC became disabled. Also, when you change out the old workstations, you run a wizard on the server that unregisters the old workstations and disables the NIC in the legacy workstations. What HP, along with Bank of America, RDP, has me do is to get one of the legacy workstations. I had to boot it up, give them the computer name and RDP, and had to give me a special user name and password to log in order to enable the NIC. Problem solved, right? Nope. When you would log into the workstation, it would power down. And when you powered it back on, it would want a BitLocker recovery key. So I got the recovery key, put in the username and password. Same thing happened. We had to try four different legacy workstations and go through the same process before we could find one that would work. All of this happened simply because HP messed up and did not send me the two spare workstations I was supposed to have. I had the same thing happen on site the next night, and I received my spares and was able to use one of the spares. That was a frustrating 3 hours on the phone with HP and Bank of America, RDP, to say the least. Have you ever ran into anything like this? No, I have never ran into anything like that. Usually, I'm in total control of the server, the workstation, any of the group policies, or anything happening with any of that communication. Given that, it's not something that I'm inherited doing for another big corporate customer. That's a shame that they put you through all that. I still don't quite understand why the NIC was being disabled. If we knew that was happening, would there be a way around that to stop the NIC from being disabled that you might not even have had to contact them? I'm not so sure. Like, couldn't have we booted from another bootable device and just make sure the NIC, get a backdoor into the OS to make sure that the NIC was enabled? That one of the things I like, even on a domain machine that's on an Active Directory domain, is having the local administrator password of the workstation. So we could always boot into the local machine to try to resolve some things. So not sure if that was even available to you to do. So thanks for sharing. I really appreciate it. Taz, it's not called horrible product for nothing, HP. I tell you, I hate the HP laptops. I don't like them at all. I love Dell Latitudes because at least you can get in and replace drives and get into the memory. Those OneBooks from HP, you got to take the whole machine apart just to be able to get to the memory or access the hard drive. It's terrible. It's terrible. Horrible, horrible designs with a lot of the HP products. Before we finish up, I have some independent music. This music is from, we're very close to the family. Her name is Kylie Harris, and this is her first CD, and I'll have a link on Amazon where you can buy it literally for $4.95. She has 5 songs, and I'm going to play one tonight with you. It's a self-titled album, Kylie Harris. Her mom was my wife's roommate in college. Her mom is my oldest son's godmother. This is Kylie Harris with you. Give a listen, and I'll be back to wrap up.
He made me cry like it was raining on a Sunday. Never did care too much for the weather in the summertime. All of my teardrops fall and puddles just wash away, because I'd rather spend my days with you. 'Cause you've given me love, you've given me love, you've given me 'cause you've given me.
is Kylie Harris on her self-titled first CD, Kylie Harris. And you can find her five songs for just $4.95. You can download the MP3s from Amazon. The link will be in the show notes. I want to thank Instant House Call and Malware Bytes for sponsoring this show. Also, don't forget Tech Site Builder, Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro, incredible, and the great set of forms from the Computer Business Kit version 3 from Bryce at technibble.com. Please use my Amazon link. That is the best way to show your support of this show. A small portion comes back to support the show. Amazon.micnation.net. Little shameless plug here for Amazon. If you buy, using my link, if you buy any of the Fire products, any of the Amazon Echo products, the Echo, the Echo Dot, I get a larger commission for the next couple weeks. That would be great. If you are in the market for the Fire Stick or any of the Fire products, any of the Echo products, use my link, amazon.micnation.net. No show next week. I hope to see a lot of you at the Unconvention in Washington, D.C. Have a great 2 weeks. I'll be back here September 21st will be the next show. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.